we have a theme that we are on the journey to greatness. And what you just heard these few minutes ago here was absolute chaotic. You did not know what to sing, did you? You did not know in what kind of key you should be singing in. Because this is exactly what happens when everybody does things on his own. That's how it sounds. And obviously in our life as Christians, we have grown up that we are Christians, but we don't need to surrender to any leadership, not even Christ's leadership. We just go on and do our own thing. And what that would mean is your life would be chaotic, and those whom you touch are being introduced to chaos. We have to have an extremely precise way of doing things. And when I say doing things, I mean simply what the Lord Jesus has commanded us to do. And so this morning, we're going to look at that as you open up to 1 Corinthians, how that all looks like. Because there is no joy in music when it's sounding like this. How many of you would have to agree with me? There is not even joy to listening to it. There's no joy to making that kind of music. Because everybody looks at the other and say, okay, who is the one who does all the mischief here? Something is not right. And each one normally believes that he is right or she is right. Do you know what I'm talking about it? That's the way it goes in Christian circles, in church families, in individual families. So this morning I'm going to introduce to you three things which we want to focus on that journey to greatness, not just as a church family, but also individually. So I'm going to lay it out into details. And the first thing is, we have to learn to work together as a church family. Because what's true in music is true for the church family. And so we open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to read a few verses. Beginning in verse 12, the Apostle Paul is telling us, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. Would you circle that in your Bible or underline that in the Bible? The body does not consist of one member, but of many. You could not call yourselves a Christian if you don't belong to a local body. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it. And there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The answer is obviously no. But earnestly desire the higher gifts. And I will show you a still more excellent way. This is our challenge this year. To work in such a way together that if we are weaker or stronger, it does not matter. We can help one another on the journey to greatness and bring glory and honor to God. What we just have experienced a few minutes ago with the music is the same thing with the church family. If they don't work together, nobody really likes it. And so we want to make sure that we don't miss the entire purpose for which God has called us. We are called the body of Christ. Did you recognize that? We are called the body of Christ. And as the Apostle Paul rightly said, we cannot be great without the other. In other words, we need each other. Quite a challenge, isn't it? Doing the Lord's business on this earth together for one purpose, to bring glory and honor to Him. How many of you like to say, I like to work for that goal for this year? I really like to bring glory and honor to God. And for that, we have to do what God tells us to do. This journey is not easy. Make no mistakes. I'm not going to tell you that from this day forward, you're just cruising along. No, what I'm saying is, it is actually necessary, but not easy. And listen, maybe take it right out of the way. But praying and hoping that we are on the journey to greatness is foolishness if we seclude to our TVs and do the things that do not God work. We cannot pray and then not do what God tells us to do. We can pray that God gives us the strength to do what He told us to do. And so does it make us believe that it is easy to accomplish? No, we all know. That's why the Hebrew writer tells us, if we want to run that race all the way to the finish line, the first thing we got to do is get rid of some of the weight. Whatever the weight is that hinders us to run. All of us come in here with some weight, but we don't know what the other person's weight is. But in order to make that happen, there are a few things which need to be in place. First of all, there must be an order to the things. We cannot do it disorderly. So somebody must give us order. Listen, what if we would have in the worship team before we started doing what we did, had put some order in place? We would have known which song to sing. We would have known who plays what. We would have known how to lead the congregation, and you would have known what to sing. But since it was totally disorderly, it's almost like anarchy. It doesn't work. There are rules that governs all the things we do. Do you know there are rules in music? And without these rules, if you violate them, sorry, but it doesn't sound good. I don't want to make you a musical major, but you know there are some signatures, what we call, like a key signature, or there's a time signature, the harmonies, they all need to be obeyed in order to make that sound good. And if I violate one of those, it does not matter how good I am on my instrument, it still sounds ugly. Nobody wants to listen to you. How many of you have ever gone to a concert with the youngest ones? They haven't grasped yet and gotten a hold of how to handle an instrument, but it's just exciting to go and see how they're just starting out. And that's the pride of our parents. But once they're up there on the stage, and we all went to this, and there the child goes up there, is all nervous, even the little things they know they've forgotten, and then they get going, and it sounds awful. The parents know, everybody knows, and if you're a prayer warrior, you start praying hard. Otherwise, you just go, I hope this thing is over soon. And so this is just the way it goes with all of us. There are some times when we just disobey things, we don't know how to handle it properly, and we all pray, we hope he's getting off of that pulpit in a hurry because it hurts. I don't want to listen. We have a rule book by which we are to encourage one another. And what do you think the rule book is in our life? It's the Bible. Thank you. Okay. There are certain order which God has put in place. We have to obey too. Since we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 28. God has appointed in the church. This is not elected. God appoints them. He appointed first the apostles. How many of you know nobody ever elected an apostle? Jesus said, I have chosen you. You have not chosen me. I've chosen you. He goes on, prophets. Prophets are those who speak forth the word. Prophesying does not mean always looking into the future. Prophesying meaning proclaiming what God has said. Well, we have the written word, and the Bible tells us in these last days he has spoken to us through Jesus. It's done. So now we have to speak it forth. Can God still speak to us individually and corporately? Absolutely can. But God has appointed those who do those things. He has appointed teachers. You can slash go pastor. He has also appointed that there are some miracles that can take place. Well, some people need to take that out of the Bible. They don't believe that anymore. Or the gifts of healing. He appoints them. Does that help you to understand that everything is done decently and orderly? Does that all of a sudden make sense that we cannot go to God and demand a miracle or demand that a healing takes place? Who appoints them? God does. He appoints it all. And if you do it right, everything is done decently and orderly. This is what the apostles said in Ephesians chapter 4. If you turn with me to the right side of your Bible, and you can find Ephesians 4:11 to 16, chapter 4. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. See that? Not building up individuals. Building up the body of Christ. That's why you have apostles. They laid the foundation. Prophets who came along. Prophets who spoke, evangelists. Evangelists have no business to be in church. Evangelists are outside the church trying to reach the non-believers. Then we have shepherds and teachers supposed to be the pastor to equip the saints for the work of the ministry until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the measure, the fullness of Christ. So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. And boy, do we have different doctrines all over the world. And we take it and soak it in and spend some time on it. But the Bible says this is human cunning, craftiness, deceitful schemes. We stay away from that. Rather speaking the truth in love. How many of you would like to say, Pastor, it's true. It is easier to follow cunning device schemes and the newest things that come out and the things we discover than it is to speak the truth in love. That's much more difficult. We are to grow up. Oh, how many of you like that somebody walks up to you and said, why don't you grow up? You go, what did you just say? But the Bible says we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. From whom the whole body, not just you and me, the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly. How many of you have to say some parts need repair? Some of them need some, you know, tender loving care for sure. But each part has to eventually work properly, which makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. When each part works properly, it has the power to build up the body of Christ. Or let me turn it around. If some parts are not working properly and becoming selfish and self-righteous, it does the opposite. it does not build up the church. So having said this, let's go back to our root scripture, 1 chapter 12, and look at verse 18 one more time. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. So who is making those decisions? God. In other words, we can't go soloing without violating the rule book. You know, sometimes I think it's so easy to understand. We have so many men who love football. Well, that's fine. And you maybe vote for a team. That's fine. How many teams are on the floor? On the field? How many are? No, how many teams? You're wrong. I thought you know football better than that. You need to learn something. There are three teams on that field. And without the third team, which you never cheer on, that's the most important team. That makes the game work. Can you imagine? The quarterback says, once I got the ball, and he always gets it, I don't care about the rest. I'm tucking that thing and I am going. How well would that team work? It would lose every time. The whole team from the opposite team would just focus on the guy. The soloist takes him down and it's over. And why do you get always so hot about a wrong call, you think? Do you think maybe those referees know the rule book a little bit better than you do? I mean, you think you know it. You cannot judge properly because you are biased. You're watching the game because you want your team to win. And when the referee says something which you thought is absolutely against your team, you are jumping from your seat and you get all excited. It's almost like church. How many like to say, yes, the church needs to have a rule book and needs to live accordingly, or else these things get out of hand? Listen, victory as a church works just like a team on the field. In order for you and me to have victories and advancing the kingdom of our Lord, we must work together and need every member, every one of them. And everyone has to play his or her part. Every one of them. In other words, we cannot be inactive. But for that to happen, how many of you like to say we have to have the same goals and the same purpose? Can you imagine? A football team goes onto the field and said, you know, half of them say, we want to win. The other half says, no, if there are a couple of friends of mine playing in the other team, I desperately want to lose. How would that work? We have to have the same purpose and the same goal to accomplish this. This was the reason when 16 years ago when we started this church here. The first thing we did is writing out a purpose statement. What's the purpose this church has to look forward to? What is guiding us? And when you become a member of this church, when you go to the membership class, you get a purpose summary statement from Victory. And we discuss it in details. Problem is, most people after 3 weeks have forgotten what it is. But I will remind you this year quite often. Because if we forget these things, we are definitely not on the journey to greatness. We are somewhere on a journey, but not the journey to greatness. We need to work together on these things. How many of you can actually quote the purpose statement of Victory? That's a fantastic Bible verse. I love it. Actually, it goes something like this. We believe. That means whatever I believe, I live by it, correct? So we believe as a family that a great commitment to the great commandment and to the great commission will what? Oh, that's the goal, to glorify God. Or let me turn it around. A half-hearted belief and commitment to this purpose statement will produce exactly that, half-hearted results. And we obviously cannot glorify God in the whole thing. Both of these come straight out of the Bible. So let's quickly go to Matthew. And I keep it simple. We stay in one book, so it's not too difficult for you to go back and forth. But in Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 to 40, this is what we read. Jesus speaking. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So now we come to the simple purpose of why a church is in existence. Not to have Sunday morning service. You come here to tell the Lord how awesome he is. You want to worship him and you want to praise him because he has done incredible things in your life. And I grew up, I became a new believer. They were singing a song every Sunday. You know, you go home with the song, you can't sleep. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. How many of you know that song? Well, anybody who is 60 and 90, that's about the time frame. They were singing that song, you know. And I couldn't shake it. I went home and great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is he. And I'm going, great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is he. After a while, you stop believing it. And then you look at your life and say, yes, God is great and mighty. That's why we come to church. Because when I love the Lord, my God, with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind, how can we not say he's great and mighty? That's the great commandment. The great commission is found that we have to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, make disciples from everywhere. We're going to look at these a little deeper in the coming weeks. So the purpose of victory is very clearly given. We want to work together in order to glorify God, nothing else. There is no such thing as for you applying for a job so you can get an employment if it's not for glorifying God. It's glorifying God. That's all this to it. Everything we do has him in mind. Then we have to do something. We have to start working together as an individual family, in your family. If I would ask you this morning, how well is that going in your family, as a family? How well do you work together? What would you tell me? I can hear things like, sometimes. Pastor, you don't know what kind of church I'm living with. This is not working. My kids, they're teenagers, that's not working. Or whatever excuse we may come up with. But we have to work together as an individual family. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. A man of God, or by the way, if you are having a single mom household or a single person household, you by default were just addressed here, must manage his or her own household well. With all dignity, keeping his children submissive, for if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? In other words, how do we want to play our part in our church if we can't even get our little family together to work together? And I think in the family, in the individual family, is where the journey to greatness really begins. Listen, any one of you who calls yourself a Christian, you must take these words serious. Why? It determines the destiny of you and your family. Don't take it lightly. This task is a huge task, but not an impossible task. Family without leadership sounds just like the worship team sounded before we started the sermon. It doesn't sound good. A husband who goes spiritual AWOL has forsaken his God-appointed position. We can't do that. But what does it mean to be a spiritual leader of your household? Listen, it's the same thing with a pastor is appointed to do with the local church body. It's the same thing, just in a smaller nucleus. It's your family. You come here, you get equipped for the work of the ministry. You go home, you sit together with your family, you equip your kids for the work of the ministry. That's your primary calling. As a matter of fact, I would launch out on a limb to say, educating your kids to be successful in life is not primary, it's secondary. Have you ever read? If you do it God's way, He will add all the other things to you. The academic situation will be taken care by God if you take care of your spiritual household. So this is a huge task. And obviously something like this, like we have as a purpose statement at Victory, where we have a very clear goal, why we're existing. You maybe should sit together with your family and think about it. What is my purpose as a family? Are we just here to live under a roof fighting with one another? Or do I believe that a great commitment to the great commandment and to the great commission will not just grow a great church, but actually a great family? Do I believe that? And then I put it to work. But let me warn you, part-time commitments are not going to make it. Full-time commitments. Because how many of you would like to receive the blessings of the Lord? Sometimes we forget how God has blessed us. Last Friday night, Trey and I had the privilege here in the church to have visitors from another church family who wants to build a new building. Well, they wanted to come and look at this building. And they ask us all the questions. And you know, we sometimes forget what God has done in our life. How many of you know how quickly we forget how great God is? But then when they ask these questions, all of a sudden, it hit me. Look what God has done. They said, where did you buy these pews? I said, we never buy them. They were given to us. And one of the gentlemen looks at me and said, really? I said, do you think I would lie to you? It's the truth. I said, what if I tell you if God gave us a building, a whole building for free? He said, that cannot be. I said, I go and look across the street and there's a building over there God gave to us. So he goes with the same thing, really? I said, and I could tell you a lot of other things God is doing in the lives of people. He transforms the lives of people. You know what his answer was? That really stuck with me. And he probably is listening right now because he said he's going to listen. So anyway, wherever you are. So I have to tell exactly the way it was. Otherwise he's going to send me an email. But this was his answer. He said, it's obvious that God is with you. Yeah. It hit me. This man just said, it's obvious that God is with you. And I said, amen. And you know, sometimes in a family, we have to look at our own little family. And we have to say, these things God is doing in my family are not explainable from a human perspective. Wouldn't it be nice if we are out in the world and people come to you and you say, this and that, look what God is doing. And they say, it's obvious God is with you. It would not work any other way. But for that, we have to make a decision that we are committed to God, because in that commitment are hidden the blessings of God. And oh, how many times do we choose the wrong path? And the blessings just not come our way. And we say, I don't know what's going on. We get discouraged. We don't want to go to church anymore. Everybody has a problem except me. That's a good sign that we have stopped going on the journey to greatness and that we are not doing our job at home. That's normally the sign. So we need to do it. So we need to make a choice. How many of you would have to say, we have to make a choice? And once the choice is made, the battle begins. I have to tell you that. Because success, spiritual success, is never a one-time commitment. It's a process. And we have to learn in that process to grow up. And the part of the process is the spiritual battle. The minute you and I make a decision that we are going to wholeheartedly with both feet walk on that journey to greatness, we will have somebody who is fighting us. And many times, it comes from quarters we would the least expect. Stand tall, keep your eyes on the focus which God has given you, and have your eyes on the purpose why you do what you do. And God will be with you. You don't walk that alone. So is it difficult? Yes. But how many of you have ever read in the Bible? It may be impossible for me, but with God, all things are possible. Keep that in mind. All things are possible with God. That obviously, when you look at your family, that entails changes in your life. And as a pastor, I had to ask myself, how can I give you some things into your hand that will help you to succeed in your family at home? And I know after I'm done preaching and we say amen, we all go out and we forgot 90% what I said. I don't make myself the illusion that you keep more. But I thought we might can help you. We already gave you CDs which you can freely pick up from every sermon, take home with you and listen to it. We have on our webpage the audio file which you can listen anywhere you want from your iPhone, whatever you have in your pocket. You just click it and you can listen to it. Now newly we have the video projection, so you have the, not just audio, but also video on the webpage where you can go and download it and listen to it. On top of it, when this sermon is going to be uploaded, you're going to find a PDF file on the computer, on our website. A file that gives you plenty of questions you can ask yourselves. They are directly linking to what you have heard Sunday morning. And it's, if I put them all together, it's 2 pages. Look something like this. And so you can print it out, and you as a family sit together every week, and you work together as a family and ask these questions. Now, parents, if you have teenagers, those questions, deliberately set the way they are, will be very, very challenging to you, because if you as a father ask a question like this, which we have down here, and I'm not giving it away to you now, he asks this question, the teenager looks in and says, Dad, you don't live like this. Ouch. In other words, we are being challenged to raise the standard to God's standard. We don't compromise, we don't lie, we don't steal, we don't do all these tricky little things on believing that our children are picking it up. As a matter of fact, they learn from the master. So when we have these questions for you and you work through it, it will challenge your entire family to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Here is my suggestion to you. Don't do it when you have time. You never have time. You have to make time. Everything that is spiritual growth, you have to make time. So my suggestion would be something like this. Why don't you take one day of the week, the same day, the same time, with the same people, with your family, and sit down every week, the same time, the same hour, and go through it and work through it. I know some of you maybe have flexible schedules, you have no control. Well, then make it the beginning of the week when you know the schedule, you already set the date. But if you say, well, when I come home, I have time, you will never have time. We know how that goes. I would love to tell you, you must do these things. But I can't. Because a shepherd never pushes sheep. He leads sheep. But I tell you, I highly recommend it to you. It's not that important, but just about like how oxygen is important to you, it's right up there. That's how important that is. So I highly, highly recommend that you are taking that plunge. Now, don't come to me and say, Pastor, this year I'm going to make that decision. How many of you have ever made resolutions by the new year and they went about 40 days? 40 days, that's what Jesus was in the wilderness. After that, he came out. I'm out of here. I'm not going for it. Listen, I'm asking you to do it for a month. For 1 month. Sit down. Do it. The blessings will be beyond your wildest dreams. Because you will be drawn closer to the Lord. It's that simple. And who would not like to be closer to the Lord? And when you're closer to the Lord, you are growing closer together. It's amazing when you are, as a husband and wife, do things together. all of a sudden, you grow closer together. I'm not asking you to do that individually. I want you to do that together. Remember, individually, it doesn't work as a team. You have to do it together. So if you have children, father, if you're here, take the plunge. If your husband and wife and your children have left, you are the empty nesters, do it with your wife. My wife and I do it for years. We do our spiritual devotion together for years. If you're a single mom, you, by default, take the leadership. And you can do it. God will help you. If you're a single person, get together with a few single people, preferably man with man, woman with woman, and you say, hey, I need somebody to hold me accountable, to ask me these questions, looking at me, and I want to grow. Let's get together. And you can do it. And the journey will be a great success if you stay the course. But you need something. That is just your desire. How many of you have ever had a desire but then failed? Okay. So I give you the most important element of that journey, and that is the Holy Spirit. You need to have the Holy Spirit. You need to learn to work with Him and not against Him. You say, Pastor, dare would I ever, ever work against the Holy Spirit? Well, that is easier done than we think. Because if we're going to open up the Word of God and be twisted until it fits our pattern, we just worked against the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. So here we go. Go with me to John 14. This is what Jesus said. This is how Jesus formulates it towards his disciples, how important the Holy Spirit is on the journey to greatness. He said in verse 15, if you love me, how many would say, I love Jesus? Let me see your hands. I love Jesus. You will keep my commandment. That's what he said. If you love me, don't tell me you love me. Just keep my commandments. And he gave us two. Should not be too difficult. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit is in every born again believer. Not there to be silenced, but there to come alongside you and giving you the power and the discipline and the insight you need to be on that journey successful. You can't do it without it. It's absolutely impossible. Working together with him, that's the Holy Spirit, is eventually leading you to an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus. Religion goes out the window. It's now where the Lord Jesus becomes real to you. You don't come and say, oh, I pray, and you may as well pray to a wall. You have literally the presence of God Almighty. You sense it that he's there, and you're talking to your best friend. Only the Holy Spirit can accomplish that. And that's where I would like you to be led this year. To a relationship where you can see and taste that the Lord is good. It's not up here. It's something a part of your life. You get up in the morning, and the first thing you do is talk to him. I like what Tony Evans once said. He said, when you get up in the morning and before your feet hit the floor, Satan will look at you and say, oh crap, he is up. These were his words. In other words, there is a man of God who will shake the kingdom of darkness because he's connected to God Almighty. And that's where I would like you to work towards. Let the Holy Spirit be your guide. Listen, God is not impressed with our religious knowledge. I don't care if you know every molecule. I don't care if you can explain to me quantum physics. I don't care about anything you know. If you don't love God and your fellow man, your knowledge is worthless. And that comes through the relationship with Jesus. That intimate relationship that requires discipline, but God provides the power. It's that simple. A vital tool. In chapter 16, actually, go with me to chapter 16, the Gospel of John. Jesus says the same thing again and again and again. He said, I'm in verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Listen, the Holy Spirit will always guide you into all the truth. Who is the truth? Thank you. I am the way, the life, and the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority. Listen, if the Holy Spirit does not speak on his own authority, how dare do we? How dare do we? But whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me. For he will not take what is mine and declare, or he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I say that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Everything the Father has in store for you and me, the Holy Spirit can eventually open up our eyes and declare it to us. And we obviously have to start with the family. If we will go back to Genesis, and we don't have the time today, but if we will go back to Genesis and we'll find out, why did God create male and female? And he said, well, they were lonely. God could have made a million animals and Adam would have been happy. No trouble, you know, afterwards. Been fine. But God decided that he wants to have man involved in the procreation of other human beings. Do you understand what kind of privilege that is? Do you know what kind of responsibility that is? Every child we bring into this world, mom, dad, listen to me. You have for one purpose these children, to make them tools in God's hand to advance the kingdom of God. That's the whole purpose. Do they have to be prepared to function in this world? Yes. But that's a side benefit. If you make them warrior for Christ, and that happens, by the way, not in the church. Don't blame the church because we don't have a children's program on that. All people are here. We do have one, but people always tell me, oh, if the church would... No, this is actually mom and dad's job, to equip the kids. This is not my job. My job is to equip you. So you can go home, you can sit the children at the table once a week. That's all I'm asking. Best would be 7 days a week. And talk with them about things that matter. It's sad to say, but today most people don't even sit down for a meal together once a day. They're always on the run. They eat in the car. They eat here. They eat there. They have no time. Listen, taking the meal together at your family table is not to partake of the food only. It's to learn to fellowship and to behave according to God's word. And I know I grew up in a different age. If we had just a disrespectful look at mom, dad was quickly to say that you go to bed without dinner. I didn't die, but he taught me to respect mom. It all happens at home. It doesn't happen in church. The church gets the benefit because if you train your kids well, the church is the most well-behaved place on earth. We're reflecting it, don't we? So we just have to make sure that we are going to take the time and say, I want my family to be on that journey to greatness. And apply. So, I don't think you have a question, do you? You know what I mean? Okay. All the tools we have are available to you. Go to the website, download the pages. If you need to listen to, again, you can listen to it, work through it. One thing I'm asking you to do, That's number one. That's the rule of everything. You have to be honest. I would even use the word brutally honest. One of the key ingredients to grow in the grace and knowledge of God is honesty with yourself. Or what James would say, look in the mirror and see what you see. Don't try to fix the mirror or buy a new one. Just look in the mirror and then look at yourself and you say, I am missing the boat here. I need to change. The good news is it's not too late to change. You're still breathing. As long as you're breathing, it's not too late to change. We all can change and we can make a difference. And all year long, I will challenge you to get closer to God. Not to get knowledge, but to get to know Him. Him. Getting into an intimate relationship with Christ so we know what it means to walk with Him. It will transform your life. It will transform your family. It will transform victory. Working together will make all the difference. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. I know, Lord, we are all kind of taking that on with trepidation. We're excited and yet fearful. What are you going to expose? What is going to come out? But Lord, I know we can trust you. And you teach us many lessons. You love us a lot more than we love you. You're a lot more authentic to us than we are to you. But we want to do it right, Lord. Lord, for me and my house, we will take the challenge. Wherever adjustments need to be made, wherever I learn something that is not the other part of my family, it's not a part of this church. Lord, give us the strength to put it into practice. When the battles are raging, Lord, we know that you are right there. You said the enemy may come in like a flood, but you will raise up a standard against it. And we believe it. You told us that it looks and sounds impossible, but you are there. Your Holy Spirit is right there, the comforter, the teacher, the helper in all our circumstances. And Lord, what we would love to see is that our individual families are literally exploding with the love of the Lord. I'm asking that you will protect and guide and equip the man of the household, the single woman who raises children, that you will strengthen her, that she has the privilege to take that by default, but by your Holy Spirit, she can lead the children. If it's a single husband, a single man, Lord, you can do that too. If it's a person who has no children, you can do that too, Lord. May they be also strengthened and equipped. And Lord, when we have the purpose before us, that we want to love you with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strength, then we know we can go out and be the witness you want us to be. But Lord, we're willing to take step one. Give us that love. Give us that understanding. And give us the power to accomplish it in Jesus' name. And all God's people can say, Amen. Amen.